Oh, sorry. All right. Amen. I appreciate that. The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and it shall return unto thee not many days hence. The Gideons have had their bread returned unto them hundredfold. So if you invest in the word, it will pay eternal benefits. Praise the Lord for that. All right, just before we get into our message this morning, and do pray about giving at the end of the service. So at the end of the service, take out your wallet and turn to page 100, all right? All right. Tomorrow is Molly's birthday, so make sure and wish her a happy birthday before you leave. All right, Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 35 through 41. Stand if you would when you find your place. You can follow along in your Bible, and it is also on the screen. Does Jesus care? You ever wonder if Jesus cares about what you're going through? The disciples did in our text today. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Gideons. Thank you for every song, every word that has been spoken this morning. And Lord, now as we look into your word, we confess we need your help. We are needy people. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Encourage your people. Speak to us, I pray. Burn these truths in our heart. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Mark chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. Jesus has been teaching the crowds that follow him, and he has spent the entire day teaching. We have, over the course of the past several weeks, have been studying and looking into the teachings of Christ on that day. After having spent the entire day teaching, Jesus is no doubt exhausted. They were presently on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. So he and his disciples decide to head over to the eastern shore. I started to point east, but I would probably get that wrong. They decided to head over to the eastern shore where it was less populated and would no doubt provide some rest for them. Now, we will see in chapter 5 that our Lord had another purpose other than rest in going over to the eastern shore. But there, it cannot be ignored that it was tiring on the part of our Lord to spend his time teaching and surrounded by such a great crowd and the hectic schedule. So they depart and head over to the other side. As they are in the boat, headed to the other side of the shore, the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret, those are two the same thing. As they are headed over, a great storm arises. So the disciples' boat with the Lord in it and the disciples and the smaller boats were in peril. But this storm, as well as the other events that follow in chapter 5 and proceeding, would provide our Lord an opportunity to display his sovereign authority. And in this respect, the disciples would have been unwise to wish this storm away. If we're all honest, we have all gone through storms of life. Or perhaps you are presently in a storm and you would give 1,000 worlds to wish that storm away. I've heard people say, I would give my right arm to just have this opportunity. I know what that's like. But on the other side, when the storm is over, you will be glad for the Lord's providence. So as we examine this text today, I want us to notice three truths. A great storm, great fear, and great calm. A great storm, great fear, and great calm. Now, you'll notice in verse number 37, actually, verse number 35, Jesus says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." So in verse 36, they send the multitude away, and he is already in the ship, and so he and other little ships go, and they head over to the other side, and that's when the storm arises. Storms were fairly common in this area, and the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, as it has often been called, kind of sits in a basin. And the way the wind blows through, it creates violent storms. The storms would have been worse at some periods of times of the day than others. The evening and the night was usually pretty calm. So the fishermen, and that's the disciples, a lot of them were fishermen, they would do their fishing at night. But when a storm did arise in the evening, in the night, it was usually fierce. So a storm arises. And when we think of the storms of life, there are storms that you and I go through that are of our own making, right? Shortly after we got married, what year was that, Taurus? Was it a 91 or something? It was a Ford Taurus, and that thing sounded like the engine had a drawer full of spoons in it. When we went to a drive-thru, we had to turn it off because you legit couldn't hear anything over the rattle. That's probably a bad thing. But I didn't let the car survive long enough to figure that out. I ran a red light and collided with a Dodge Ram. Listen, that created some hardships. But that was of my own making. And those things do happen. But there are many storms that arise in life that we have no control over. It isn't anything that we did, and there's nothing that we could do to prevent that storm. That's certainly the case with the disciples. It could not be said, well, you guys should not have done this. You should not have gone this direction. You should have done the other, or you could have escaped this storm. No, absolutely not. They were following the directions of Christ. Christ said, let us go over to the other side. They obeyed him. And that's when the storm arose. Now, you can make the argument they were ill-prepared, because scripture, the Bible says they took him even as he was. In other words, they went as they were. And you can't blame them too much for that. I mean, these are experienced fishermen. They lived their life on the waters, and they weren't going on a long trip just to the other shore and thought, it'll be fine. But whatever the case, it's important to note that they were exactly where the Lord wanted them. You know, I know a lot of folks that every time something bad happens in their life, they want to know what they did. You know people like that. When a storm arises, whatever it may be, something at work that causes problems or financial difficulties or problems with loved ones or family members or a health concern that you didn't see coming or any number of trials that arise in our life, though they arise, and so oftentimes you look and think, what is it that I have done to deserve this punishment? Maybe you are exactly where the Lord wants you to be. The disciples were, and listen, Jesus was in the boat with them. All right? If anybody was where they should have been, these disciples were. But a storm came. And you know, they probably didn't think much of it at first. After all, these guys were fishermen. And so they probably went about their normal training, did what their mentors had shown them, and just went about their normal routine, thinking that they would hold on and keep the boat steered in the right direction until this storm blew over. But it didn't. The storm was relentless. It wouldn't quit. And all the training in the world, everything that they had been accustomed to doing, all the tricks of the trade, so to speak, were not fixing it. It was beyond their control. You ever been there? Something arises in your life, some hardship, some trial, takes you by surprise. And no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try to steer your ship, the storm is relentless. Now, this storm was providential. They didn't see that. And we don't either, do we? There are trials that I have gone through in my life, and you have as well, that if you had told me, well, the Lord's putting you through this for your good, I probably would not have appreciated that very much. If I can pause here, be careful what you tell somebody when they're going through a difficult time. Job's friends were the most beneficial when they kept their mouth shut. It's true. And we, listen, don't forget this. Most often when we attempt to console someone that's hurting, whether it be the loss of a family member, a great financial loss, a health concern, or a job-related issue, you know, perhaps the place they've been working for 30 years has closed. And so often we try to say something, and we do that for our own benefit more so for theirs, because it's awkward for us. Now, I remember, I don't know, mid-2000s sometime, I guess, around about, we were... you ever heard the term fighting hell by the acre? It felt like we were, all right? We had troubles. And everything that we knew, everything that we had been used to, that we're comfortable with, it seemed as if our entire world was blowing up. So an evangelist and his wife took us out to eat to encourage us. I do not think encouragement means what they think it means. The entire time we were eating, they were reminding us that we were not the only ones going through difficulty. And I thought, well, thank you, Captain Obvious. I thought I was the only one on the globe that was going through a difficult time. Be careful. But Jesus was in the boat with them. And that's, listen to what John Calvin said. First, it is certain that the storm which agitated the lake was not accidental, for how would God have permitted his son to be driven at random by the violence of the waves? But in the storms, it is helpful for us to know that we are there, and God is still sovereign. As the song "He Leadeth Me" says, sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. So they can't fix this storm. And so this storm leads to great fear. The fear is, this is going to be it. The problem wasn't the storm on the outside. The problem was all the storm and water in the boat. They were going to drown. The little boats that were with them were no doubt close to capsizing. And they're fighting the waves, they're fighting the storm, they're trying to make it through. And there's Jesus in the back part of the boat, underneath a little bit, down lower, asleep. They didn't appreciate that. One commentator said his humanity was asleep, but his divinity was watching over them. I'm not sure how all that works out, but I think it's probably true. And so they go to wake him up. Now, in the storm, when you cry out to Christ for relief, that's an act of faith. But they went just a little bit beyond that. They said in verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, we're fixing to drown and you're snoozing. What is wrong with you?" There is a subtle accusation in their waking him up. In other words, that is, he is either ignorant to their condition or indifferent. You ever feel that way? Huh? Oh no, we would never. Yes, we would. He is not indifferent. And he is not ignorant. But they didn't understand that. The problem with the disciples is that they were relying too heavily on his physical presence. In other words, they were relying heavily on his felt presence. R.C. Sproul tells the story of when he was a seminary student. He was called to preach on a Sunday that happened to be Communion Sunday at a church where the pastor had just recently died, unexpectedly. And he said he prayed all weekend for those people because he knew they needed something from the Lord that day. And he said as he preached and as he presided over the Lord's Supper, he had never in all his days been more aware of the absence of God. He said at the end of the service, he didn't stand in the back to shake hands. He wanted to find a hole to crawl in. But he said every single one of those members walked up to him and shook his hand and told him how real the presence of God was to them that day. And he said, from that moment on, I learned to trust in the promises of God and not how I felt about it. Hey, you may not know he's there. It may seem as though he is absent. It may appear to you as though he's asleep at the switch. But he is not. He is not indifferent to what we go through. He is not ignorant of our concerns. He is fully aware, and he is in the boat. He is there. As the songwriter says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief, there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." He cares. He is not ignorant or indifferent. But in his providence, he allows us to go through the storms that we may never in this life understand. And, you know, I've shared this before here, but if I had been writing the script of my life, my mother would still be here. She would have been 52 on her next birthday. And me being 45, that seems awful young. I don't understand that one. She would love to have visited here. But the Lord is sovereign. So they awake the Lord out of his sleep. And notice what he does. There's a great calm. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. He commanded the wind and the waves as though they could hear him. There is no life in the waves. There is no life in the sea. In other words, they are inanimate objects, correct? But he speaks to them as though they are. And it's interesting, the word he uses, our translation says, peace be still. Yours might say something a little bit different. But in chapter 1, and verse 30 or 25, when there is a man possessed of the devil and the demons began to speak out, Jesus said in verse 25, hold thy peace. The Greek word that's translated hold thy peace in chapter 1 and verse 25 is the same Greek word that's translated peace be still in verse 39. If you were to translate it literally, it would be muzzled. Yeah, put a sock in it. Stop that. As like you would tell a dog to stop barking. You stop that. That's enough. Every time my dog Louie sees a FedEx truck, loses whatever mind he has. It might be across the street, but he's going to protect us from the FedEx man. And I tell him to hush, and it doesn't do any good. But Jesus says, be muzzled, and everything ceases. Because there is nothing outside of his providential control. He holds authority over all. And the one that spoke worlds into existence, that said, let there be, and it was, the one that upholds all things by the word of his power, as Hebrews says, calming a little storm is no big deal. Psalm 46 and verse 9, he maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. He calms the storm and he offers a gentle rebuke to the disciples. We're almost finished. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so timid? Now, fear isn't the problem. As John Calvin pointed out in his commentary, a person that does not fear is foolish. Those soldiers that stormed the beaches of Normandy, they didn't do that without fear. There was great fear. But they did not let that fear paralyze them. He doesn't rebuke them for their fear, but he rebukes them for the kind of fear that seems to erase faith. In other words, he was sitting right there in the boat with them. If they had believed as they should, they would have trusted that he would see them through. But they were crippled. Fear that awakens the sense of faith within us is a godly fear. But he rebukes them for not believing or for being timid, for allowing the fear to cripple them. And listen, you will face things in your life that are fearful. But then Jesus says, how is it that you have no faith? The Young's literal translation says, how have you not faith? Other translations say, do you still have no faith? In other words, how is it that to this point you still don't have faith? You saw me tell demons to hush. You've seen me touch lepers, and they were healed. You've seen all number of things. How is it that you are without faith still? How is it that you still don't believe me? And we can't throw stones at the disciples because every single one of us are there. We've been there. I can't tell you the number of times I have seen the Lord answer prayers. The skeptic that says prayer does no good, he's wasting his breath on me. It's too late for him. Every time I have prayed for wisdom, he has answered. Every time I have prayed about a situation, just as Ken said, whether it be a job situation or family or whatever it was, every time he has heard. I've seen those that are sick healed by the prayer of the saints. Listen, I've seen God do amazing things through prayer, yet still, when the next storm arises, I'll be laying in my bed, awake at night, wringing my hands, putting the pieces together in my mind, figuring out how I'm going to make it work. Trying to figure out a way where I can avoid making this decision or that decision. Trying to escape it. You're saying you're without faith? Well, sometimes I certainly am. And the Lord rebukes them for it. Listen, if this text teaches us anything, it is that we can trust the hands of providence. Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. This great miracle led to their wonder. I don't have time to get into that this morning, but verse 41 indicates that their fear of him on a calm sea was greater than their fear of the raging sea. They realized who he was. And had they not gone through this storm, they would not have learned to trust him. One of my favorite songs, How Firm a Foundation. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never forsake. He does care. If you belong to Christ, I would encourage you to trust him, to lean on his everlasting arms. But I would simply provide the warning, if you do not know Christ, these promises are not for you. And unless you repent, these storms will be your demise. He is a willing Savior. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that though storms may arise, They need not worry us because we are sheltered in your everlasting arms. Help us to trust you in all things. Encourage your people. Save the lost in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, if the Lord